A thought for today. Teachers open the door, but you must enter yourself. Teachers open the door, but you must enter yourself. Teachers open the door, but you must enter yourself. We've all had wonderful teachers in our life. We've had teachers to show us academic pursuits, teachers to show us all sorts of areas of life that's quite interesting to us. Learning to knit, learning to play the guitar, learning to do calisthenics, learning to do all sorts of wonderful things. But if we do not take what the teachers teach us and act upon it, then it atrophies in our consciousness and becomes as nothing, and we no longer follow it. It's interesting, isn't it? We can have these gifts. What's one gift that comes to mind very readily? And that is language. If you learn language early in your life, you have it forever. It just sticks with you. But if you don't use it, you sort of forget it. You forget how to use it. You forget the nuances of the language. You forget all the little details. But once you start it again, you're right back in there again. They say you never learn as you never forget how to ride a bicycle once you've learned how. You never forget how to ride a horse once you've learned how. You never forget how to sing once you've learned how. Because it just pops right into your mind at the time that you're singing. All the techniques and all the wonder of it. However, if you do not utilize it and make it yours, then it's like nothing. They had a movie of, I think it was Anja Pino, who was it? Mario Lanza. Great movie of him. And he was some sort of a truck driver. And while he was driving truck, he was singing because he loved to sing. And he had a fabulous voice, but it was not a trained voice. He did not have a great repertoire of music. And so one day somebody heard him singing and said, "You must go to see this teacher." And he went to see the teacher, and the teacher trained him and trained him. And he learned all the arias, he learned all the operas, he learned how to sing, he learned all of this beautiful, beautiful stuff. And as he learned it, he became more and more professional. And pretty soon, he was called upon to sing on stage. He was called upon to sing in operettas and various other things. And his name became very famous because he was quite good. But in his heart, he was still a truck driver. In his heart, he liked the freedom of going around every moment to the different places where he made truck deliveries and singing as he went in his truck because his voice sounded so good to him inside the truck itself. And he was not really happy with the new world that he had chosen for himself. The world of opera, the world of public singing, the world of music on stage. This is the story. Fact is, he really loved it, but according to the story, he didn't. Do you have to become a great musician just because you have the talent? Do you have to go out and be a great public speaker because you have a voice that just resonates? Do you have to go out and do any of the things that your talent gives you the clue to do? And of course the answer is no, you don't have to do that. Would you like to be a little less busy with that? You may do that, but just not so enthusiastically gathering everyone's attention. When we are sitting here knitting while I'm speaking, it's a matter of letting us quietly keep our attention on several things at once. And we don't want to attract other people's attention to what we're doing. We want to just be quietly sitting there doing our knitting. Okay. Teachers teach us how to do things. What is it we'd like to learn how to do? What is it that's really important for us to do? is it important for us to take the talents that we have and exercise them and use them? Or is it important for us to do whatever our heart tells us to do? Now, what does your heart tell you to do? Oh, we all agree so readily that we should do what our heart tells us to do, but you don't. Our heart, most of the time, tells us to be at peace. And you say, how do I find peace? And so you go to your teacher and you say, how do I find peace? And the teacher says, I haven't the vaguest idea how you find it, but this is what I do and I want to be at peace. I sit down, take a deep breath, let it all out a couple times, relax. Let my mind just be free of all the tensions that bothered me, and then enter into a feeling of peace. It works very beautifully, works very positively. So I teach you how to do this my way. And you perhaps have your own way that you figure out over a period of time. But I teach you my way, okay? Then along comes a very testing experience. Tension rips in at you and gets you really uptight. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All this tension just roars away at you. You feel all upset. What are you going to do? Ellen was telling you the story of Jesse. Well, she didn't tell you the whole story. She told you the highlights, and the highlights were correct, of course. But she forgot to mention that Jesse had a full beard. Full face beard. Full. Just like a hippie back in the 70s might have had. Full head of hair. And his clothing looked rather normal, but not dirty, but normal and sort of casual. And he came there. And another thing Ellen forgot to mention was that he is a painter of murals, which he did mention, but he painted murals all over the countryside, and he's quite good. And as a mural painter, he wasn't making money, so he decided to paint American flags, because since September 11th, everybody wants to put American flag everywhere. And so he's painting American flags for people. People are paying him to paint the American flag. And he's doing quite a beautiful job of it. And then she forgot to mention another thing I think is very important. I'm making her sound so forgetful, aren't I? She forgot to mention that he and his friend parked their motorhome outside of a church and asked the church if they could use the electricity to charge the battery. And so 3 days ago, he had plugged into this church and charged his battery. And his motorhome was parked outside. He went for a walk and got lost. He didn't know which way he went, whether he went up, down, inside, or out. He was not drunk. He was not on dope. He was not anything. He was just lost. You look at him and say, oh, he's on dope, or he's drunk, or he's this. That's why he's lost. No. He's lost because it's easy to get lost in Las Vegas, And he had a great time, and he met a lot of wonderful people. And then he came into our seminar. And as he came into our seminar, he naturally was hungry. And so all the cookies are out on the counter and so forth, he enjoyed thoroughly. And then when lunchtime came, he enjoyed the sandwiches that we bought. Well, the story goes on, which Ellen again forgot to tell you. Robert, the man who helped him, was himself a sign painter. Robert is a professional at painting images on walls, on bathrooms, on showers, on everything else, and making it look like you're in the middle of the ocean or you're in the middle of this wonderful place. And he was just like Jesse, a very talented, a very capable man. Well, when lunchtime came, And Robert wanted to go and buy some refreshments. I said, Robert, why don't you take Jesse along and perhaps you'll bump into his motorhome. And so Robert took Jesse along and he finished his mission. And then he said to Jesse, now, where do you think your motorhome might be? Well, Jesse was pointing all sorts of wonderful places. And Robert says, well, from the description you've given me of this area with the Save-On and the church and the various other things in the neighborhood, it sounds like it's over here. Oh, no, no, it's not over there, said Jesse. Robert says, I think it is. And so Robert drove over there, and sure enough, there it was. And Jesse was delighted to see his friend, whom he had lost 3 days before. And they embraced heartily. And Robert said, are you coming back to the seminary with us? No, 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 no. And so they got in the motorhome, and they wound up their power cord, and they moved to another church. And Robert came back to the meeting. Now, why did Jesse come to the seminary, this particular church where we were? Why was Jesse a very wonderful pianist? During the pause, each pause, he would sit down at the piano and play lovely music for us that was rather grand, classical type music. And why did Jesse look like he was something out of another age, another time, like the 70s? Because that was what it was. Why did Jesse lose his motorhome? I mean, that's a rather big thing to lose. Why did Jesse have the talent of being a sign painter on walls? Why did Robert, who went to help Jesse, was he a sign painter? Why was Robert into these very same things that Jesse was and had been in? Why did the two of them understand each other, and Robert understood where to find Jesse's home? Nothing in life happens by chance. Oh, it was just a coincidence, just a happenstance that that took place. No. They came, both Robert and Jesse. Here's another part of the story. Yes, and you forgot that too. Shame on you. Here's another part of the story. Robert is the friend of Rhonda. And Robert and Rhonda are a, what do you call it, a thing? And they run around together. Well, Robert has not been too kind with Rhonda's philosophical bent. And he's sort of discouraged her a little bit, saying, oh, you don't need to study that. You come on, we want to do these things. You don't do them. And so Rhonda was not too pleased about asking him to come to the seminar because she didn't want a negative vibe there. So she told Ellen, when Ellen asked where Robert was, that Robert was at home. And Ellen says, call him up and get him over here. Call him up and get him over here. And Rhonda said, well, all right. And so she called him and he came. And he thoroughly enjoyed the seminar, and I think he has changed his tune on positive thinking, which is a lovely thing. But he wouldn't have been at the seminar if Ellen hadn't gotten Rhonda to call him. So he came, and he was there to play the game that was established for him. Now you might say, coincidence, as we've already said. Well, nothing happens by coincidence. Everything is a cause put into motion. I told the people attending the seminar that it was a magic miracle seminar, and miracles were going to happen to them. Now, most of them did not recognize it, but we had a lot of beautiful miracles there. I told them to write them down in their books, and some of them wrote it down. I told them to open their eyes. I am merely their teacher, their sharer, who's opening the door for them to their inner path. And I gave them a rip-snoring seminar for the first 3 or 4 hours. And then because it was a workshop, I had them ask questions. And when they started to ask questions, each one wanted to show how wonderfully knowledgeable they were in their particular area. Not that they had any real question to ask, but they wanted to demonstrate their knowledge in their area. And of course, that made the seminar dissipate from the powerful seminar that it was, and the beautiful miracles that were taking place, to just sort of a talkathon. And people talked and shared. And we had old-timers there and new-timers there, and everyone talked and shared. Now, a few asked some very important questions, but only a few. And one of them was Veronica. Veronica asked some very deep searching questions. And we spoke to those deep searching questions, and some of them were answered, and some of them will be answered as she goes on. But you see, the sincerity of the student makes all the difference. When you ask questions just to show your genius, then nothing can happen for you because you already got your answer. When you ask questions because you want to really know something that's touching your heart, that's getting right to the depth of yourself, then what happens? Then miracles take place because you're opening the doorway of your inner self. You're opening the doorway of your inner house. And you're letting the sunshine come in there. You're letting the light come into your own inner awareness. And beautiful, wonderful, fabulous things take place. Jesse could have said, "Oh dear, I'm lost. I have nowhere to go. And I don't know where my motorhome is. I don't know where." But he said, "I misplaced it." And so he was able to find it. If he had said someone had stolen it, but you see, Jesse wanted to make sure we realized no one had stolen his motorhome. He said he parked in front of a church and plugged in for the electricity. Now, there's no indication of any foul play there, is there? No indication that anything is amiss. Just that he misplaced where he left it. He left it in a very definite, specific, easy place to find. It's just he didn't know the neighborhood. But Robert did. You see, you could have asked anyone else in that group, and perhaps they're from different areas, and they might not have known the area like Robert did. But the thought was so perfect. The plan was so perfect. The layout and design was so perfect. The miracle was so perfect. Why do these things happen to us? Why do these things happen? These things happen because we are sincere as we are students. We are sincere as we want the program. Now, this coming week, I'm going to make total changes in the way that we operate the monastery. I'm going to rearrange many different things. We're going to have many different programs that we have not had before, or at least have them in a different way. Instead of serving ourselves meals and making them for ourselves, which was a very wonderful thing that we did, we're going to have meals made with portions, where each one of us receive a portion and a good portion, and we will eat comfortably and well. But one person will be in charge of the meals.
Well, Bob, we've enjoyed making our own meals. We've enjoyed all this wonderful way of handling this.
Well, I'm sure you did. But you're not here to enjoy things. You're here to be untouched by the changing of the rules. You're here to be untouched when I ask you to do different things. You're here to be untouched when I say to you, "I'm going to babysit you." You're here to be untouched when I say to you, "Now, this is what I want you to do." And when you're untouched, you're master of yourself. When you're untouched, you can go out and do anything. You don't cry because something doesn't go your way. You look at it and say, "What cause can I put into motion to have this go my way? What cause can I put into motion to have this go?" You see, you take charge. Is this what we teach you? It surely is. Is this what you're learning? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Why are you not learning it? You're not learning it because you're still hanging on to your self-righteousness, that you have a right to do whatever you've been doing. And you have no right to do anything you've been doing, because here at the monastery, all rights are lost. All you have a right to do is to be yourself and have fun. And be yourself and have fun with self-discipline, self-diligence, self-dedication, self-determination. Be yourself and have fun as a master of yourself. Because I want you to leave this place, whenever you choose to leave, as a master. In charge of yourself, in charge of your thoughts, in charge of every attitude of your mind. And you will not leave this place with total charge of your attitudes if you can't take charge of your attitudes here. Because here you know it's a test. Here you know what I'm doing. You know I'm giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time so you can master yourself. And if you can't handle that, my goodness, what are you going to do in the outside world? Oh, this world is so terrible. Oh, my goodness. Or you'll say, wow, I'm getting myself a job, getting a house, getting myself a husband or a wife, getting myself children, getting myself standard brand stuff. And I say, go for it. Your spiritual journey is over. You say, well, you mean people who do those things are not on a spiritual journey? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They can be on a spiritual journey if they're sincere in what they're doing. But you see, what you're doing when you leave here to go out and be a member of the world is you're running away. If you go out to have a family, you go out to have a business, you go out to do these things, that's super. But if you can't stand being here and you got to get out of here to go there, then you haven't learned your lesson. It's like a child in school. If a child doesn't learn first grade mathematics, the teacher is reluctant to ship that child to second grade just so the child will feel good with his peers, so he'll feel good with his fellow students that he was in first grade with. If the teacher has any strength of character, the teacher will say, you stay back. You stay back. You learn. You learn. First, you get the foundation. Once you have your first grade foundation, you can go to your second grade. You can go to your third. But if the teacher lets the child go to second grade without having the basics, she is doing the child the greatest disservice, the child, because the child will stop learning because it cannot compete with the rest of the children who did learn. And that child may become recalcitrant, it may become a rebel, may become the kind of child that is not desirable in society, or it may become a very desirable person. It all depends on the person. He may say, I didn't have any education, but I'm going to go out and make a success of myself. I believe in myself. See, the education would have been such a blessing to him as he went through his life, right? It would have been such a helpful thing to be able to learn to read and write and do arithmetic, to learn to get along with your fellow students. It'd be so helpful if that's the game you want to play. Now, here in the monastery, we have a very simple game. And the game is ever-changing rules. Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah. We told you that when you first came here. That's one of the first things we said. The rules are ever-changing. And so if you don't like ever-changing rules, don't stay here, really, please. I would be most happy if no one were here on campus. I want the people here on campus who are dedicated to being their master self. And the way you become your master self is to become in charge of your own self through self-discipline. And with self-discipline, you do many wonderful and fantastic things. Now, are you ready to be self-disciplined? Are you ready to take over? Are you ready in sincerity and dedication to be fully in charge of yourself? Are you ready for that? Or is that just talk? You say you want to learn how to drive a car? You cannot change the rules. You cannot say, I want to back up all the time. I think backing up is fun. I want to back up. Well, cars aren't designed to back up all the time. Cars are designed to go forward. And so if you come backing up your car down the freeway, people are going to find that very difficult to conceive. They'll think you're driving the wrong direction. And you will create more havoc than you will create balance. So you learn to flow with the programs of life. You learn to do the things that are necessary to do. And as you learn to do the things that are necessary to do, then all life is a joy. You're the master. You're the master of yourself. I'm not your master. I wouldn't want to be anybody else's master. I'm too happy being my own master. But you're your own master. But you're only your own master if you learn to discipline yourself. If you learn to stand by whatever you choose to do. Can you imagine a master being angry at somebody and saying, drop dead, and the person drops dead immediately? Ha! Crazy. I didn't mean that. Okay, well, bring him back. Okay, you're alive. Well, Herb, that's kind of silly. That's a drastic reference, a drastic illustration of what we do. What we do. We are undisciplined, and therefore we let people make us angry, and we say to them, drop dead. Or we think bad thoughts about them. Oh, ho. How many times have you thought a bad thought about something or somebody, and it was manifest? All too often. We have to be very careful of our thoughts, that they're always beautiful. We have to realize that everybody in our world, we created. And we are continually creating them. We are continually creating them with our attitude about them, with our smiles about them. Teachers open the door, but we have to enter in. We have to use that wisdom that comes to us, that is already within us. Use that wisdom to bless our world and love our world and delight in our world. But you know, I don't feel sorry for any of you. When I give you rules and I give you changing things and you tell me you're very unhappy about it, I say, oh, wonderful. I got him. No. You say, well, Herb, that's not very nice. Oh, yes, it is. You fell right in the trap. Instead of saying, I'm in charge, and hey, that doesn't bother me. You said, I don't want that, that's bad, that's not me, that's unfair. And when you say it's unfair, then I just shove the dagger in deeper. And I say, here it is. And then you open your eyes and you see, hey, there's no dagger there. That's just me being unhappy with what I chose to do. You know, you take a course in mathematics and you learn mathematics, and then you go on to the next course, and then you want to skip a course because you're really not interested in spherical trigonometry. And you say, spherical trigonometry is so complex, I don't want to be part of it. But then you go on to other mathematical principles, and as you do that, spherical trigonometry is important to it. And you don't have spherical trigonometry, you're not going to go any further. Because you need each step along the way. And in your being a master, the step of self-discipline, the step of recognizing that the world is filled with changes, and the monastery is more so, that just flow with it. You won't die, you won't starve. Oh, but this happened to me forever and ever. So what? Now is the time to change. Now is the time to be undisturbed. Now is the time to recognize that you're God, all of God, completely, wonderfully, freely. And all the human emotions, as much fun as they may be, we just set them aside. And we don't play that game anymore. You're wonderful. Teachers open the door, but you must enter in. So enter in today and enjoy yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you! Now, what did you prefer? I love you. I love you. Or I love you! Ellen, in finishing up her talk, I'm going to let her listen to her tape. Her voice dropped so low as she was being so secretive with you. I love you, and you're wonderful, and you're just great. I love you, and you're wonderful, and you're just great. Whenever you get behind this microphone, whenever you get before a group, you are a public speaker. Speak up and be heard, or else I'll put in my earphones.